let's get started. Welcome, everybody. We are very happy that you joined us today. We will be talking about Global Service Monitor and DevOps scenarios in Operations Manager 2012 SP1. This is Vitaly Garbenko. He is a program manager on operations on application performance monitoring team. And I'm Anna Timasheva. I'm a program manager on Global Service Monitor team. How many of you know what Global Service Monitor is? That's quite a few. Very nice. How many of you tried to install it and play with the functionality? That's also a good number. Excellent. So Global Service Monitor is a brand new service. We released trial version in January, and just 2 weeks ago, we announced full commercial version. It allows monitoring HTTP publicly accessible endpoints from global perspective. That means that you can monitor websites or web services from 16 global locations. These global locations, you can think of them as agents, monitoring agents, and they can execute synthetic transactions which monitor your application availability from outside in. Our agenda today is to talk about Global Service Monitor value proposition and how it fits in overall assets that operations manager has for application monitoring. We will go step by step and show you what it takes to get started with Global Service Monitor. Then we will switch context a little bit and talk about DevOps. We will explain what DevOps is and highlight which challenges organizations are facing when implementing DevOps processes. Then we will dive into the demo and we will show you how Global Service Monitor together with other operations manager assets helps to facilitate dev and ops communication and facilitates interactions when they work together on fixing lifecycle issues. So essentially, we will help you how to, we'll show you how to reduce MTTR. MTTR is mean time to resolution with operations manager. And we will close this session with Q&A. Let's get started. Let's talk about application monitoring perspectives in Operations Manager. If you think of your application sort of as a center, application performance monitoring lives right next to it. And it views your application in a very zoomed-in way. It views your application as lines of code. It views your application as specific objects or methods or namespaces. And this is the kind of information that .NET application performance monitoring provides you. It can tell you if a particular method is too slow, or it can tell you if some line of code causes an exception or crashes. If you zoom out a little bit, and now you view your application not as lines of code, but as separate components. For example, you may have a database component, or you may have an internal web service which feeds data to your application. If you view your application at this level, Operations Manager provides internal synthetic transactions for monitoring. You can configure internal synthetic transactions which will monitor health of each individual component. If you zoom out even further and cross application boundary, this is where Global Service Monitor lives. We call it mid-mile perspective. Global Service Monitor allows you to view your application health from outside in. As I mentioned before, we have 16 global locations, and you can configure synthetic transactions which will monitor externally facing endpoints, websites, or web services for correctness. There are a lot of rules which you specify what it means for your transaction to be correct. For example, you can monitor time it takes for each step to execute. You can monitor redirect URLs. You can monitor content which is returned. And of course, HTTP status and things like this. So very rich functionality here. So, and finally, we have last mile monitoring, which we call client-side monitoring. This monitoring provides you exact experience as if your end user experiences application in their browser. Think of your end user, possibly with their laptop, sitting in Starbucks, using wireless internet. How do they experience your application? Client-side monitoring will tell you if your page is too slow or if there are JavaScript crashes on the page. You will also know this. So you can see that operations manager has this great depth of monitoring assets. And if there is a problem, because you have this information at different levels, you can quickly figure out, first of all, does it matter? Like if there is a crash, do your users actually see it? Maybe it's not urgent. Maybe you don't need to fix it right away. Because a global service monitor and last mile perspective will tell you if your users are affected. On the other hand, if your users are affected, you have all this depth of information which allows you to go all the way down to the code level and find out where the problem resides. So what value Global Service Monitor provides? It provides availability monitoring, as I already mentioned. It provides availability monitoring from external perspective. In a sense, it is if a global service monitor tells you that website is unhealthy, that means your end users are probably seeing it. But because global service monitor is, uses synthetic traffic, you are able to catch it proactively before your end users notice it. You can use a global service monitor to track your SLAs. Like if you made promises to your users, you can see whether you are maintaining availability that you promised. Or if you are relying on a third party, say web service or website, you can see whether they are keeping their promises to you. And next is there is great integration between Global Service Monitor, which is a cloud-based service, with your on-prem operations manager group. All the data which Global Service Monitor collects from around the globe is being sent back to your on-prem infrastructure, and it is available to your operations manager. So all the tools which operations manager has, such as reporting, a statistical analysis, alerting, are available for you to work with this data. And last point is that you can think of Global Service Monitor as an extension of your on-prem infrastructure into the cloud. The cool thing about it is that those monitoring agents hosted and supported by Microsoft, so you don't need to worry about them. They're just available to you at no additional cost to configure your monitoring transactions and deploy it. So this is a great thing. Let's see what it takes to get started with Global Service Monitor. We need to make four easy steps to configure it in Operations Manager. The first step is that you need to activate Global Service Monitor offer in Microsoft portal. Currently, there are two types of offers for Global Service Monitor. One is trial offer. It is available for everybody, and it is free, but it expires within 90 days. Then there is full offer, which is available to customers who have software assurance. It is also available at no additional cost, and it never expires. So let's walk through sign-up process. I have a link here which takes me to this to the Global Service Monitor trial offer. I already created an org ID when I signed up for Office 365, so I have an existing org ID with Microsoft. If you don't have it, you can use this link to set up an org ID account, but I already created it in advance, so I will just go ahead and sign up. I use my org ID and I enter my password. And voila, that's all it takes. You can see that you are signed up for Global Service Monitor. It tells you that it expires, the trial offer expires in 90 days. And it provides you links. You can use this link to download Global Service Monitor MPs. And if you notice, there is this link to upgrade trial offer to full offer if you have software assurance with Microsoft. So step number two would be to click on the link and download Global Service Monitor MPs. I'm not going to go through this demo all the way, but you get the idea. You download MSI and unpack it. So this is step number two to download them, management packs for Global Service Monitor. Step number three is to import management packs. Please note that Global Service Monitor has dependency on Alert Attachment MP. You may already have it configured in your environment if you use IntelliTrace or TFS synchronization. If you don't, you need to import it together with Global Service Monitor management packs. This will allow you to get more in-depth information about Visual Studio web test results. After you import the MPs, you need to configure file attachment share, which is described, the steps are described in the link provided. Once you finish importing the MPs, you will notice new item in the administration pane in Operations Console. It's called Global Service Monitor. And the landing page will have start subscription link. You click on this link and you go through sign up wizard. In this wizard, you need to use exactly the same account which I used for signing up for GSM in a portal. So once you go through the wizard, Global Service Monitor Cloud Service will learn about your management group and it will know that this management group has subscription. And you will be able to configure tests. That's all. This is all what it takes to configure your operations manager environment to use Global Service Monitor. After you go through the wizard, you will see that the landing page will be updated. And it will provide you links to do next steps and start configuring tests for monitoring. Now we are going to switch context a little bit. Global Service Monitor is one of the set of tools which Microsoft created to facilitate DevOps scenarios. So Vitaly will explain what DevOps is and what are the challenges in this space.
Okay. Thank you, Anna. Now we know how to enroll to Global Service Monitor within the operations management environment. You can see that it's a fairly simple process. Now let's talk about DevOps. So really a few years ago, very few people knew what DevOps is. Today, DevOps is included in virtually every major IT conference. Virtually every major IT conference holds sessions related to DevOps. Thousands and thousands of IT professionals join those sessions to learn about optimizing application lifecycle for focusing on customer experience, focusing on rapid application to implementation to deployment lifecycle, and also targeting, optimizing mean time to repair when the problem actually occurs. So what is DevOps? Actually, DevOps is not a person or a persona. It's not a role in your organization. It is not a piece of hardware or software that you can purchase. Indeed, DevOps is an eco-model that you implement in your organization, and that in that eco model, we have developers and operations working together, and they work together focusing on those shared goals. You will see this slide in many presentations at MMS this year. This slide shows how developers on the left and operations on the right work together in one shared environment. When they work together in one shared environment, they experience a set of common challenges. Understanding these challenges and more important, understanding how to address those challenges is a key goal, key part of successfully running DevOps in your organization. So let's quickly go over the common challenges that we see when developers and operations experience when running in the same environment. Number one problem that is really causing a lot of difficulties is that developers and operations use different isolated tools. Developers do not have enough visibility into the way how IT operations run their applications, the applications that developers wrote, and vice versa. Operations do not have visibility into how they can facilitate development process, how IT operations can help developers with troubleshooting issues with developing the application. Developers and operations run often in two separate silos with a significant communication barrier between developers and operations. Obviously, running a successful DevOps with those two silos is impossible. So it is very important to align developers and operation tools together so people work together. Second problem is really related to the fact that IT operations focus on continuous delivery of business functionality in the application. Continuous delivery of this service is number one goal of IT operations. Now, the reality is that not IT operations are the first people who find out about any issues when the issues occur. Indeed, the people who detect problems are your customers. So when the problem occurred and when the customers already, actually by the time when IT operations learn about the problem, it's already too late. There are already many unsatisfied and unhappy customers who already hit the problem with the website or with the service that you host. That is a big problem. So I want to mention here that Global Service Monitor is indeed what targets this particular problem. It provides with a set of virtual users that run your that will constantly run your application on your behalf and will report you immediately once there is a service degradation. So you become aware of the problem first before you have too many unhappy customers who actually experience this service degradation. Another issue that people experience when running the same environment, developers and operations, is actually operation tools, operation environments, production environments do not have full power of development tools that developers have. Normally, the debuggers and profilers are not part of the production environment. Majority of you came from IT operation side. How many of you would like to have developers accessing your production servers and playing with debuggers? Just raise your hands if you don't see a problem with developer and operation running and sharing the same full access. Well, I don't see any hands. To be honest with you, once in a while when we ask this question, we do see people say, okay, we have developers accessing production environments. These people do not talk about DevOps. They talk about NoOps. And actually, that NoOps is an extreme model of DevOps. People, it does happen. And in some cases, indeed, they can operate quite successfully, but that is not going to work for majority of organizations. Usually, NoOps is kind of a model in which developers engineering team runs your servers. It might be suitable for very small startups, and people might succeed. But for majority of organizations, IT operations would be very unhappy if developers start messing around with the production environment. So, as I said, we don't have a lot of power from development tools in production environments. As a result, when IT operations assign issues to developers, they cannot provide actionable context in their problem. So when developer receives an incident, he has very little information about the problem. So developer spends a lot of time trying to understand what the problem is. The feedback that developer receives from operations not actionable, and that is a big problem. Now, even after the problem is understood, developer has a hard time reproducing this problem in his environment. This is a root cause of favorite, famous developers, but it worked on my machine when I developed it. Well, of course, we all have heard it. Developers' environment are different than production environment. Indeed, when developer needs to troubleshoot the problem, a problem with the production environment, he needs to troubleshoot that problem in context of that production environment. But production environment doesn't give necessary tools. So part of the offering, part of System Center 2012 service pack one is IntelliTrace management pack that provides ability to actually capture traces from production environment and share those traces with developers. We will not mention a lot, we will not do a lot in this session about IntelliTrace, but there are other related sessions that will talk about IntelliTrace. Now, another challenge that people experience when running shared application lifecycle is that even after development spent his time, fixed the problem, it takes forever to deploy that fix. It, because of, again, unaligned tools between developers and operations do not provide a simple way of deploying. People work on, and there are thousands and more, like probably hundreds of thousands, different implementations for deploying applications, and everybody runs his own model that needs to be implemented, needs to be coded, needs to be implemented one way or another way. So that is another common challenge, implementing necessary quality gates, implementing necessary security gates and misaligned tools take make a very long deployment lifecycle. So if we summarize all those issues, the real problem is that developers and operations, they come from two different worlds. It's not only the tools that make those worlds different. Developers and operation, developers obviously use Steam Foundation Server, Visual Studio, other development tools. Operations use totally different set of tools, System Center and other operation tools. But the problem is that developers and operations really speak different languages. When operations speak about the problems, they speak in context of alerts, they speak in context of SLAs, of availability, latency. Developers don't usually understand all those terminology. They think about bugs, code defects, lines of code, classes, functionality, all developers' artifacts. So it's very difficult to align those two. And the biggest difference, indeed, it is listed on a slide deck as number one, but and that's why, actually, that's the biggest one. Developers and operations have a clear conflict of interest in many cases. When developers mostly care about implementing new features, coding, making more code modifications, so application grows and grows, each code modification just naturally brings additional risk. IT operations, on the other hand, they care most about what? About maintaining stability of the application. They do not want to take that extra risk. So just having that conflict of interest indeed makes communications between developers and operations more difficult. When there is a problem, when application crashes, what is developer's instinct on fixing the problem? Developers wants to debug it. Developer wants to make code changes to fix it. When IT operations experience a problem in the production environment, what the IT operations instinct? I want to roll back, restart, do whatever is necessary. I want to recover my service. Then I will figure out what to do next. So that is really another area and probably one of the biggest issues that developers and operations deal with when trying to talk together and work together. Now, the good news is that with System Center 2012 SP1, we have a number of features that simplify DevOps process, that simplify communications between developers and operations. So what we are going to do is we are going to switch to a demo now. In this demo, we'll show how Global Service Monitor, together with application performance monitoring in System Center, And with integration with Team Foundation server will help to facilitate a quicker DevOps cycle. Actually, we'll show how those tools help understand the root cause of the issue. Now, because we understand that many of you come from IT operations background and you might not call Visual Studio your second or even your third home, it's quite all right if you don't understand some of the steps that we will show in Visual Studio. It's quite all right. We will just pay more attention at the steps that we'll perform in the Operations Manager. And keep in mind that all steps that we will demonstrate in Visual Studio will be performed by your developers. So you will simply utilize the output of their work. You will not need to do those steps yourself unless you would like to deep dive into Visual Studio and learn those tools. It's not that simple, actually. It's very simple, and many of you obviously have developers' background too, so it will be easy to understand. So we are going to switch to a demo. In this demo, it will be a combined demo. Anna will play the role of operations when I will play the role of developer, and we will show how DevOps can be used in the System Center and in Visual Studio. So let me just switch to a demo here. Okay, and as I said, I pretend that I'm a developer who work on the application. You probably have seen Fabricam Fiber application, which is used in many, many Microsoft demos. It is just a sample application. Actually, let me just run it. As a developer, I use Visual Studio as my second or maybe first home, and I run my application on my local environment. For those of you who have not seen Fabricam Fiber, it's a simple demo application, but in my case, it's a real production application, important one, that tracks customers, that tracks employees, and tracks tickets between customers and employees, so I can see which tickets and which customers are assigned to each employee. And I have also report functionality implemented, so I can see a simple output, how many tickets each employee has and what the current customer is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run my Visual Studio. The goal here in my pseudo environment, we implement web tests to ensure continuous delivery of the quality code as part of our test strategy. We already have implemented a web test that verifies functionality of employees page, and as part of this demo, I'm going to implement a new web test that will verify that reports is working the way that reports page is working the way it is designed. So I'm going just to, in my Visual Studio, I'm going to start a new web test. And as you can see, Visual Studio started new web test recorder, so I'm going to just run my local environment. Every step that I perform in the browser will be recorded here, so I can see that so far, just accessing a main page made a couple requests already. So I'm going to write a very simple web test. I'm going to switch from main page to reports page. And I see that everything works. At this point, what I'm going to do in my test is I'm going to verify that this reports page doesn't return the error message, which would indicate that there is a problem. So I'm going to stop recording right here. Stop recording. And I'm going to stop debugging as we are done. We can see that my web test consists of four simple steps here. First is accessing the main page and then going to reports page. Then reports inherently calls tickets and employees to sub-pages. So there are four steps in this web test. What I'm going to do next is, actually I'm going to run this web test just to make sure that it works the way it's designed, so I'm going to run it. And I can see that there are four steps, all four successfully executed. I can see what the web request was, I can see the response, and I can see actually a preview for the web page. So I see that test looks correctly. Now, there are a couple things I need to do with this web test before this web test can be reused by other people. Step number one is I need to to actually add a couple parameters here. So my environment is configured to use localhost, but other people would not run it under localhost, so I'm going to change it. And actually, let me just create a new parameter. I can still default it to localhost, but it's a parameter. Now, in my local developer's environment, I don't have authentication implemented. But in real life, in real production environment, we run NTLM authentication. So I need to provide username and the password. I'm going just to create two parameters for username and the password. So I'm going to create two parameters here. And we'll call one parameter username. And the second parameter I will call password. And the last thing that I would like to do is I would like to bind credentials for the web test to these two parameters. So when the web page requests credentials, we will pass as a name the username parameter, and as a password, we will provide the password parameter. Let me just run this test to make sure that it still runs the way it did before. Yes, we can see that all four tests successfully worked. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to implement a check for the for the error message. Remember that I said that my reports page will return word error when there is a problem. So I'm going to click on reports, actually not in the test result, but rather on the web test. And I'm going to just say that add a validation rule. So every time when on the reports page there is a word error, I don't remember if we return it capital or small case, so I'm going to say just ignore case. And I'm going to say that every time when there is word error on the page, I want to fail this test. And indeed, what I'm going to do is I will copy this validation rule to all other sub pages, so the same test will run. And now I'm going to run it again. Everything seems to run correctly. I'm going to see results. If I open details, I can see that for each step here where I have find text rule, my find text rule successfully executed because of there was no error displayed on the web page. So now all I need to do is I'm going to rename my test so it is consistent with our naming convention here. So and I'm ready to check it in. Now what I'm going to do next is, as a developer, I will schedule a build. And the way how we are configured actually is every build that's successfully executed will be automatically deployed. In case with System Center, it is possible to set up orchestrator or use other ways to automatically deploy after the build passed necessary quality gates. So I'm going to queue a new build. And it might take a few seconds before the build is produced. We're going to see the build output. So the build output that we are going to have from this result is going to contain not only the website with all latest changes that I might have made to the code, but also it's going to include web tests that I wrote. We see that there were a couple of warnings in this build, which are fine. They are only warnings. And we can see that build succeeded. So I'm going to open my drop folder, and that is my build output. I see published websites that are being deployed now. And also I see web tests, two web tests that we wrote. And I'm going to pass these web tests to other people to run. Indeed, these very same web tests will be run by Global Service Monitor. So Anna will show how to deal with those web tests on the operations side.
Vitaly, thank you very much for providing a new build, new functionality, It already has been deployed in our environment, and I have a link to the latest build folder. As you can see, Vitaly provided me web tests, which he recorded, but I can use as synthetic transactions for monitoring health of this new deployment. So this is what exactly what I'm going to do. I will return back to operations manager, to the same page where we left our previous demo of sign up. We ended our previous demo on this page where I can start configuring new tests. I will click on Configure Visual Studio Web Tests and go through the wizard. I will name my monitoring Fabricam Fiber. This is the name of my application. And it is a good practice to create a separate management pack. I will already have a management pack for monitoring Fabricam Fiber. Here I can select the tests that I want to use for monitoring, and I will use the test that my dev recorded for me. I will select both tests. One will be monitoring employees scenario, the other one will be monitoring reports scenario. Click open. And here you can notice that I need to configure parameters. So this is actually Vitaly's local host, but this is obviously not the name of the production web server. So here I have parameters which I need to replace for production. This is my production web server. And I also created a test account that I will use for monitoring my application. It's a good practice to create a separate test account, maybe with a little bit lower privileges than your usual user account for safety. And the password. Okay. And I need to do it, I need to specify parameters for the second test as well. Username. And production server. Okay. So this step I specified which scenarios I want to monitor. On the next page, I will specify where I want to monitor my application from. And Fabricam Fiber is a global corporation. We have customers all around the world. So I will configure a few global agents. I will select monitoring from Australia, from South America, from Western Europe. And I will also select a couple of locations from United States because this is such an important market for us. Next. At this point, I'm actually done. I could click Next button right away if I'm happy with default configuration. But I will show you how to change configuration. You can see here that you can select test frequency. The most frequent step is 5 minutes. So I will ask Global Service Monitor to run my tests from each location every 5 minutes. Second parameter tells me when to raise alerts. If I don't want to be alerted on intermittent failures, I may want to require that I have 2 consecutive failures before I see an alert. So I will set this parameter to 2. The next 2 options tell me allow me to control how many alerts I receive. I can receive alert for each test from each location, or I can receive a single summary alert if any test, any location fails. So this is a matter of your preference. I personally prefer each test from each location because then alert tells me which test, what location, and what were the errors right away. Otherwise, I need to dig in a little bit deeper. So I will configure it like this. And this is a summary page where I can do last sanity check and see what I'm monitoring. I'm monitoring employees page and the reports page. I'm monitoring from 5 geolocations every 5 minutes. Everything looks good. All I need to do at this point is click create. It will take 10 to 15 minutes before the data from all the global locations will start flowing back to operations manager. So for the purposes of the demo, I created the exact same monitoring in advance so that we could go ahead and look at the data which is flowing to operations manager. You can see here under application monitoring, Visual Studio Web Test monitoring, Visual Studio Web Test status. Here I have my Fabricom Fiber monitoring configured. And I can see that Fabricom Fiber is not healthy. It's red. So I want to investigate what is going on. First, I go to summary dashboard, map dashboard. This dashboard allows me to view application health from global perspective. It highlights on the map all the locations which I configured, and it tells me whether the application looks healthy from these locations. As you can see, my application seems to be unhealthy for all of my users, for the whole world. That's not good. Let me select one location. It tells me which tests are being run, reports test and employees test. For employees test, it tells me that total transaction response time, that's the time it takes to execute all the steps in the transaction, and it tells me when was the last time that I ran this transaction. And we see that reports is failing. You can control select multiple locations, and you notice that it seems that the reports page is failing from every location. Employees page is doing well, reports page is failing. Let's see how we can troubleshoot this further. Let's go to test results dashboard. Here I see again all the locations which I configured for monitoring. If I select one location, let's select New Jersey. I see two tests which run from this location. And if I select one test, so the test which is interests me, reports test, because it's failing, you can see that I can drill in and find out more details about the failure if I download test result. So I will run this task. The reason why we implemented it like this is because web test results are actually quite big. There is a lot of information there. There is whole request, whole response, and if your transaction is long, we allow up to 100 steps in a transaction, it could be quite bulky. So we don't want to send all of this information to your system unnecessary. This is why we implemented this task. So at any point in time, no matter whether the test is succeeding or failing, you can always get your latest test result from remote location. So what happened now is that we downloaded a test result from New Jersey. And we have this representation of the test result. It tells me some high-level information of what happened during my transaction. It shows me which steps succeeded, how long the steps took, and it shows me that reports slash employees is failing. And sure enough, if I look inside, I see that validation rule, which Vitaly configured, failed. There is word error on the page. And I also see that web server threw an exception. There is 500 exception. So let's turn now to alerts view. If you remember, I configured alerts for each test. So as soon as there is an error from a location, I get an alert. Let me open an alert, say, from Sydney. If I go to alert context, alert also shows me what was the reason why the test failed. It shows me in quite detail here. You can see that step number 6 failed, shows me the, which web page it was, report/employees, 500 exception, web server error, and prohibited text error appeared in HTML response. So these are the two issues that Global Service Monitor found with this page. In addition to that, when there is an alert, there is always an error. So for every alert, we actually go ahead and download the test result which caused this alert. We download latest failure. So you can go and look at downloaded test result by clicking on this link, open attachment location. So this is attachment location for a test from Sydney. And if you have Visual Studio installed, by double-clicking on result, you can open it in Visual Studio, and you get all the great information which web test result contains. Like if I go to the page which failed, I can look at what my customers would be seeing it. It says, sorry, an error occurred while processing your request. That's not good. And I can also go to details, and I can see that text find validation rule failed, and there was an exception. So here I wanted to emphasize there are two ways to get to test result. One is manual, using the task, manual task which I demoed before. And the other one is automatic. On every alert, we download test results so you can view and troubleshoot. So we know that there is a problem with reports employees page. Fortunately, we also have this application being monitored by application performance monitoring. If you remember our layered monitoring approach, we actually have something which sits right next to the code and looks for exceptions and performance events. So reports employees is failing. I suspect that application performance monitoring will also show me something. Let me take a look at this one. It says null reference exception with employees reports. I think these two alerts, these alert is related to what Global Service Monitor is showing to me. In general, it's a good practice to combine client-side perspective provided by Global Service Monitor with internal monitoring provided by APM, because this way you will immediately get to the root cause. It's very easy to narrow down what's going on with your application. So here I see that reports.employees is failing. And if I go to product knowledge for this alert, it tells me that these types of problems typically require access to application code. So I know I will need help from my developer to fix it. To give him complete context of what happened in production, I want to assign both types of alerts to him. I want him to look at what Global Service Monitor is reporting and at what APM is reporting. So I will select both types of alerts, right-click, set resolution state, assign to engineering. What is happening now is that TFS synchronization picks up the two alerts which are available in Operations Manager and creates two corresponding work items in TFS. The beauty of this solution is that the link is bidirectional. If I make a comment, for example, I'll make a comment to this alert. Maybe I want to provide more context for my developer. I will write here, this fails from all locations. This comment will be available to my developer, and vice versa. When he works in Visual Studio and he updates TFS item, it will be reflected in alert. So this is a great communication mechanism which allows me as an operation admin to see the status of how my developer progresses with troubleshooting. You can see here that there were ticket IDs 20 and 21 created in TFS This is reflected in Operations Manager. I'm going to comment, to add one more comment, because I think these two are related. I will say these may be related to issue number 20. Okay, so what happened here, my developer should see those two work items and the context which Operations Manager collected, which is a Visual Studio result file, and the call stack which APM collected are taken from Operations Manager and attached to TFS work item. So my developer has full context which we collected in Operations Manager now available to him in his tools, which he prefers.
Okay. Thank you, Anna. And now I'm a developer again, and looks like I'm not a good developer because of the application that I wrote failed. But let me see what I can do about it. So my very next step, actually my standard practice, is to triage application issues just as they occur. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at any issues that are currently open. Let me just close these results. So I can see two new operational issues that were reported back to me. Here they are. I can see that there is an application failure, and also I can see there is another work item assigned to me, which says that there is some problem with the code, with actually the web test that I wrote before. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open this work item, actually I can see in the history, it looks like my IT operations are saying that this is related to issue number 20, so I might look at the issue number 20 at the end. I can open my attachment, and here is the test result that was seamlessly delivered to me for the web test that I just wrote. I can see that indeed employees page failed, and I can see that it failed with, actually looks like 500, it was an exception, and also there was a word error on the page. So something is definitely wrong with this page. I'm going to switch to the work item number, to the work item number 20, which was also related. I see that there was an null reference exception. Yeah, sure enough, it looks like I messed up something in the code. So let me see what's going on. This says that there is an attachment of file IntelliTrace. How many of you know what IntelliTrace is? Actually, it's not a lot of people. So before I go to open that IntelliTrace file, let me explain what it is. IntelliTrace is a historical debugger that is shipped as part of Visual Studio, and also in System Center we have IntelliTrace Profiling Management Pack and other IntelliTrace integration. This historical debugger is a file format that lets me open a session, debug session on a machine, not on the same machine where the problem has occurred. So I might not have access to the production environment where the exception was generated, but I have that IntelliTrace file that was produced from the data we recorded, actually from the data that we received when application was monitored, and I can open it as if it is an application running on my machine in a debug session. So let me just show how it works. This is an IntelliTrace file. An exception might have happened on a different machine, on a different environment, behind DMZ, so I would not have access to it. I'm going to open this file, and look, it opened my debugger. It looks like I'm running a debugger session on my machine, even though I do not have this application here. It will show me my call stack, it will show me my parameters, it will navigate my source code to the failed line of code, actually my code window. So I will have all necessary information to drill down to the problem without having physical access to the production environment. How great it is. I mean, it's really great. Now, there is also a full profiling mechanism right now we are not going to show it in this demo, but if you are interested in learning more about IntelliTrace, there are several sessions that cover IntelliTrace, and there are links to those sessions in the PowerPoint. We'll mention those sessions in just a few minutes. So from here, I can actually see that with null reference exception, I just didn't expect in the code that the customer might be null. And indeed, I can see that, yeah, I'm showing customer, get customer summary from the employee. Oh, I really didn't think that employee might not have any active customer, so I just need to make necessary code changes to expect that scenario. So this IntelliTrace file helped me troubleshoot the issue and get into the root cause with no physical access to the production environment where the problem occurred. And by the way, on my environment, everything seemed to work fine because of in my database, in my test demo database, actually my development database, I do not have any customers with any employees with no customers. So that's why the test didn't fail on my developer's machine, but it, sure enough, failed in the production environment. So isn't it great? So let's get back to the slide deck and see what, and actually summarize what we talked about. We have developers and we have operations working in the same environments, and the tools that we implemented actually helped to reduce that barrier. TFS integration helped to transfer the data from operation sides of the wall back to development wall, back to the development side. We could see could reuse the same information, production information, in developer's environment, and we could get into the root cause of the problem pretty much right away, not spending a lot of time. All this is great, and I would like to actually pass it back to Anna. She will talk about what we are going to do next. Actually, before we do this, I'm sorry. Let's talk about the couple things that we implement here. We implemented shared artifacts. The shared artifacts are the web tests that we have on development sites. They are used by IT operations right in production. Also, alerts that are shown in the operation side, they were seamlessly translated into work items that I understand in my Kim Foundation server, and I can use that information right away. Also, IntelliTrace provides the root cause of information. We have a very integrated process between operations manager and TFS. So what is next?
What is next? We would like you to sign up and start using Global Service Monitor. Please sign up either for trial offer or full offer. Configure tests and start monitoring your applications in production. As always, we are always looking for your feedback and opportunity to improve the product. This is the list of related sessions. If you would like to learn more about Global Service Monitor or application monitoring or DevOps scenarios in Operations Manager, these sessions could be useful to you. Finally, we wanted to remind you that we are looking forward to your feedback. Please provide the feedback for this session. And all the events in this one at MMS are being recorded and will be available for your viewing in 24 hours. This is the end of our session. We are opening Q&A. Who has any questions?
Sure. Okay, we have a question.
Is there a roadmap for integration with Java APM? Right now, the APM is kind of limited for Java. Is there any plan on that?
Well, supporting cross-platform is definitely on our roadmap. Today, actually, with SP1 of Citizens 2012, SP1, we enable integration of any alert that might come from Java monitoring, so you can actually use that. Global Service Monitor will continue working and doesn't really care which technology your code is written, but definitely supporting monitoring for other technologies is on our roadmap. It's important. Thank you for the question.
Repeat the question.
Okay. Any other question? More questions?
Hi there.
Okay. I think there are questions. Okay. Go ahead.
I don't. Can you hear me?
Yes. We hear you.
Is there any way to take the Visual Studio Web tests and run them against an existing agent instead of GSM?
Sorry.
So the question is if we have any plans on taking web tests and running them from the existing agent opposed to running from the remote location.
Yes, this functionality was on the roadmap. We call this functionality private agent. And we have two scenarios for this. One is monitoring internally facing applications, using web tests to monitor internally facing applications. In the other scenario, it could be that your corporation is, for example, interested in Canada, has big market in Canada, but we don't have a node there. So this is a second scenario for using this. It is on our roadmap.
Questions? Any more questions? Yeah, go ahead.
Is the data from the GSM on like each run, is the performance data collected and stored in the SCOM data warehouse so you can see trends on performance?
We collect, so in data warehouse, we store total transaction time. So if there are, say, five steps, it's the total time that we store, and you can trend this. But we don't store performance information for each specific step. You would need to open web test to see that, so, web test results.
Okay, when you download the data, that's the only way to get the finite data. Okay.
Okay, thank you. Good question. Any more questions?
Guys have any plans on allowing imports of, say, load runner scripts?
Ability to import load runner scripts and run load runner scripts from monitoring. I know that we did talk about that, but I'm not sure if it's in our immediate roadmap right now. So. Okay, any more questions?
Yes. In your presentation on the Visual Studio test, you were entering username and password data, mm-hmm. and it appeared to be in the clear. Is there an option to use the built-in run-as accounts within SCOM for that test instead?
No. For Visual Studio Web test, there is no ability to use built-in run-as account because the test actually resides in the cloud. It resides on remote agents, so we don't have this functionality on remote agents.
There's no way to pass the run as profiles or accounts to the remote agent then?
Not at the moment. Yes?
Okay. When you created the web test demo, how's that username and password?
So the question is when we take the web, the username and password, what happens with the username and password? Well, the web test gets passed over to the point of presence via HTTPS, and it is stored. It is actually accessed on a secure location. We suggest to always get for extra security to implement a low privileged account for your web test, but obviously because of HTTPS protocol involved.
Through the DevOps model, when you send a bug to the TFS developer, how do you tie the monitor to the TFS project so that you can target it?
Okay, the question is how we actually bound TFS project to a specific TFS work alert to a specific TFS project. We didn't show it in this demo, but it will be shown in other demos. Part of configuration in TFS, you need to map align which application belongs to which team project collection, to which team project, and to which area. We have a mapping. It's part of administration of TFS integration. So you can actually link and say, alert from application A, go to team project A, and alert from application B, go to team project B.
Do you know what
such it is, I will be able to provide you. It is, I think, the one with Sean Gibbs and Daniel Michetta. It is. I think it will be covered in several sessions. I do know that it is also covered in 1, 2, 3 in the fifth session in DevOps in session V301 as well. And
this is Sean's. This one.
Yeah. So the first one AMV201 is also the one that covers it. Okay. Sure. Thank you. Another question?
Yeah. So is there only one account for an enterprise to create global service monitors?
You mean subscription account for GSM?
Yes, so you have one account to get into the management interface. Is that the one account that everybody in the enterprise would use to get to that management interface?
The way it works, so the question is, do we need to have only one account for the whole organization? And the answer is, it is one org ID per organization. So once you have org ID, even if user A signed up in a portal, any user, any other user with the same org ID can activate subscription from a management group.
And do they all have the same permissions?
Yes.
Okay. That's probably something you need to work on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. We run, I think our time is over. We are going to be here for more time. So if you have any questions, if you want to speak to either me or to Anna, we are here. So feel free to stop by. We will be happy to answer any more questions. Thank you very much again.